Good morning. Today is Wednesday, February the 1st. Rocketed through January already. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor Estelle Fennell. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Brian. How are you today?
I am pleasantly surprised.
How lovely.
It's been a month of surprise, that's all.
Oh, my goodness.
Good things happening and, things falling in place.
Yeah.
I feel like we're catching up on past years.
Mm-hmm.
Our quote this morning, let's see, we've got Henry Matisse or Ralph Waldo Emerson.
Oh, let's go for Matisse, painter. Okay.
I don't paint things.
Oh.
I only paint the difference between things. You were right.
Yeah. Those are the kind of things we would discuss when I was in art school. You know, it's like, what exactly,
like Michelangelo, he just takes away the stuff that doesn't belong.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then
when you try to do some kind of project at your homestead or something like that, and your cutting boards doesn't work the same way.
Yeah, imagine that. Yeah, does it do the same with budgets?
Uh-huh.
Don't you like that transition?
Yeah, I like that very well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
We
have those on our mind.
I would imagine so. Now, you got Measure Z folks starting to gather and circle. And what is the process that they're going to be going through now?
Well, the same as they've done before. But as we're all aware, we're pretty clear on what Measure Z was all about, which is about safety. So we've already pretty much committed a fairly significant chunk of that to the sheriff's department, to fire. And then there are other issues that will be, I'm sure that we'll be getting, requests for. And so as the pot remains fairly similar but diverse, it'll be up to the Citizens Advisory Committee to have a look at it and then make recommendations to us.
Now, was Rhodes part of Z? There's too many of these things floating around for me to keep straight. Is that the one that also said Rhodes? And Rhodes?
Well, what we did is, even though it wasn't really included in the very, very first round, the supervisors actually did go ahead. It is our decision in the final analysis, and we did give money to Rhodes, and I'm sure we're going to have to do that again this time around because Rhodes are in a terrible shape. So, you can be almost guaranteed that Rhodes will get some money.
What percentage would you feel, as one of five, but let's say you're five of five,
mm-hmm.
What percentage would you feel comfortable with for Rhodes?
You know, I'm hesitant to go into percentage, to the percentage approach.
All right, how about dollars?
Yeah, oh, okay. Dollars? 50, yeah. 1.5 million.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that...
Is that enough to have an impact?
It's enough to barely keep us treading water. That's what we did last time. And, it was kind of fine-tuned as we went into the second half of the fiscal year. But honestly, I just don't see that we can go back on that. We're in terrible shape.
As things change, I've seen something that says the gas is going to go up a little bit in the shell game that the state's talking about with... gas tax. Do you think that the roads are going to be more apt to get state funding or less apt this calendar year?
That's a huge question. I mean, the bottom
All right,
line.
Well, then ponder it during the break.
Okay.
No big deal. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, before the break, we were talking a little bit about some of the allocation of Measure Z and the million and a half that
I,
Queen Estelle would assign out of that to Rhodes. But then the additional question was whether or not the state is looking at supporting county roads, or if it's going to be another shell game like the property tax with sales tax, the ERAF shift, I think was the phrase that was used. Yeah. And why I remember that from so long ago, I don't recall. Is there stability from the state with some of the gas tax monies coming back to the counties?
The state is very, very aware of, as we all are, that the advent of more fuel-efficient vehicles means less gas being consumed, means less taxes available. So how do we balance that out with the continuing needs? Because just because the vehicles are fuel-efficient doesn't mean that they don't have an impact on the roads anyway. So the state is very aware of it. We are also very, very vocal in our request to the state through our legislators, also through CSAC and the Rural Counties Coalition. So we're doing it all that we can. I'm hopeful that the state is paying attention. But the other thing we have going right now, Brian, and this is really important, is that the county, along with 31 other counties, or 30 other counties, I'm not sure, has declared a state of emergency, and the governor has signed off on that. So now we have a state of emergency. Declaration of emergency. We're hopeful that the federal government will also sign off on that, and that would unleash, if you will, some federal funding for some of the road problems that we have.
So what is the state of emergency? What was the trigger?
The trigger was the storms. I mean, there's just been
We've had some flooding and stuff,
No. There's been road failures.
Okay, the slips and the slides and stuff.
Yeah, okay. And we in Humboldt County alone, and I don't know what the updated figure is, but as of Friday, it was $6.1 million worth of damage. I anticipate there will be more. There were a couple of areas in Supervisor Bones' district, for instance, that they couldn't even be checked because they were underwater or they were inaccessible. And one in mine, which is in the McCann area, they couldn't get across to check it out. So that may go up.
So it could be bumped up a little bit.
Yeah,
more.
And yeah. Caltrans definitely had some damage here also. And the state highways system had some damage in the storm in Humboldt County as well as others. Just in Humboldt County alone brought the total up to about $18 million, I think. So I know that just
$18 million for Humboldt County?
Yeah.
Total.
And so I think, generally speaking, if you travel on 101, even between here and southern Humboldt, let's say between Wyatt and Myers Flat, chunks of the road are sinking. Now
why does that sound familiar?
It's an annual thing, if you will, or it used to be when we had the same kind of storms that we're having now. But bottom line, you're traveling along at, you know, the posted speed limit, 65. You hit one
safely.
Of those.
safely. Yes.
Exactly.
Safely
you hit one of those, and you could be airborne. So they have to get out there and fix that right away.
Notice the last chance is moving more. They did a fill, then they did another fill on the south end of the main dip. And then they scraped it down, and it's still, and it just, it seems to me that there is a willingness to spend in certain areas and a willingness to ignore in other areas.
That's right.
And I know the state officials or state representatives are all from down south, all three of them. Okay, and Huffman in the mix also. But, you know, you'd think that they would be paying enough attention to expedite something instead of having the meetings and, you know, some of the committees. And I get the need for that. But when there's these kinds of situations, and 299 too, I mean, it's almost our district. Come on, guys.
Oh, God.
You know,
these
types
I
of things are really lifeblood for us. It's not like, you know, in the Bay Area, if you have one slide knocked out, okay, you got 15 other choices. it may be a little bit more less convenient than that more convenient route that got knocked out. But hey, you know, life goes on. Life doesn't go on up here if these things continue.
No, and commerce definitely doesn't, and the commerce actually underpins life. So you have 299, you mentioned it. It's in the areas in Trinity County, so it's in the second district, Caltrans second district, so our local guys don't have as much of a say about it. But I'll tell you, I've been bending their ear back, and I know that other supervisors have too, because all of our commerce, it's as important as last chance, really, especially with things going the way they are. 299 is not passable right now for commercial traffic, which makes it very, very big deal for anybody who's got big trucks trying to access other parts of the state right now.
36 is tough.
36 is very tough.
Now you're working 20.
20, exactly, okay. Which extends the driver's driving time, which means less trips, because there are limits on how long he can be on the
the 8 hours in a
exactly
day.
These are real emergencies. These are very important rural infrastructure, and I hope that both the federal and the state level recognizes that and kicks down the funding. If we get on the state on system roads such as 101, 36, etc., those guys will get funding from the federal government with about an 11% matching fund required. If we go to FEMA on the off-system roads, then we'll need a 25% matching fund, which will all come out of the county funds. So it's not going to be free, but it can definitely help us.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Estelle.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Estelle Fennell. Our talk shop this morning is presented by Redec and by CDH Painting.
Hey, Brian, before we go any further, let me do a little clarification here. I don't want to intimate that 101 at last chance grade is less important than 299. I just want to point out that just as we are concerned about that, which is a major artery, 299 is very important for Humboldt County, no doubt about it. Trinity as well, obviously. But just that access to the inland is taken away when we can't get commerce over 299.
It's interesting for me, and I've not heard talk, and that doesn't mean that it's not progressing, the choo-choo train on the east-west.
Yep.
If that was up and running, at least then there's an option to get goods over to I-5, where now they're really, you know, only the most dedicated will get there.
Yeah. That's okay. An interesting point to make. And
the redundancy of our infrastructure, whether it's the fiber optic stuff that I guess is happening, but we still remember last year when, you know, redundant is how you are defined rather than what really is. And the lack of some of these other options that are here really point out how vulnerable we really are.
We really are vulnerable, and the world isn't getting any smaller, you know, I mean, as far as the population or anything else like that.
Yeah, the acceptance of being isolated is less.
Yeah.
You know, 50 years ago, yeah, okay, it was different.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's not acceptable.
And 50 years ago, I would argue that people were a little bit more self-sufficient than we are in today's world. But
at least then you knew somebody who could split a piece of wood.
Yeah. Or grow some spuds.
Yeah. Now that's more folklore, I think, for many.
But I do think that, the train is not an issue that needs to be shrugged off. And I actually understand that the supporters of the East-West corridor were heartened by President Trump's support of rail. I don't know if he was just thinking about places like Nebraska and that, but definitely infrastructure is very big right now, and I think that's good.
How tough is it for U5, you specifically, I guess, for this, to be concerned about infrastructure, because there doesn't tend to be howls? You don't tend to be stopped at the grocery store or at the gas station or at the restaurant. We need more infrastructure. It doesn't happen, unless it's my pothole.
Mm-hmm.
It's a top-of-mind issue that you have to make a top-of-mind issue for yourself,
mm-hmm.
rather than having a vocal constituency arguing for it. And I'm sure there's a bunch of others that are similar. Is that tough to remember some of those things as you're working with the budget? As you're getting recommendations, as there's a group in front of you that's saying, yeah, about whatever their concern is?
I think it's tough to the extent that it's tough to explain to people that we have to think about that every time we make a decision. I mean, the budget issues will be coming up front and center really soon now. There's only so much to go around. We have to make those decisions. We have to keep it in mind whether or not it's important to everybody. We understand that it is important. I mean, if you're driving around Humboldt County at 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning, you see what keeps everything going. That's when some work is happening right out there in the infrastructure that we have. You know what I mean? People are working.
That's not what I see in my neighborhood at 4 or 5 in the morning.
No, hopefully not.
It'd
be a little quieter, but if you're on the highway and that kind of thing, you just understand that people are working essentially 24/7 to make sure that you can drive on your roads, you can turn your faucet on and get water, you can turn your light on and get electricity, all of those things. So infrastructure is hugely important, but it doesn't jump to, the front of everybody's mind when they're wondering about what they want to talk to you or complain to you about.
Yeah, when they get their 5 minutes of attention.
Yeah, right.
Gosh, I guess I should feel very privileged, huh? KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:40. We'll be back with more from Estelle Fennell.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back to talk shop this morning with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, with the budget priorities that are coming up, budget process, all that kind of stuff, is the marijuana, hash, all this special, are any of those taxable events? Is that going to be adding to the pot, of the budget in this next year, or is all of that phase in and it's more at the manufacturer level and it's not that much retail, and because it's medicine for some of it, it's not going to be taxed, and is it going to have any financial impact to the county general fund?
Yes.
Any estimates?
We've put that question to our county administrative officer a few times, and it's very difficult to ascertain at this time. I think we'll have a lot better idea probably by the middle of the year. What we have right now passed by the voters is Measure S, which gives us an excise tax on cultivation of marijuana. And I think that anyone who's got a permit for that will be paying the tax starting right now. I mean, they won't be paying it now, but they'll be factored into the picture. We, as you know, had a significant number of people come in for applying for permits towards the end of the year.
2,500 to 3,000 last week is what I heard.
Yeah, it was a lot. And so we're, right now, they're just still entering that stuff in the system. We can't even get data extraction. But bottom line, there should be some
what
funds.
What was that word you just used?
Data extraction.
Step away from the edge.
But no, we can't extrapolate data, you know, until there's data in there to begin with. But I think that bottom line, there will be some funding definitely from the marijuana industry. And there'll be, you know, fees that are paid to cover costs. But hopefully some of that funding will come in at least by next year.
My understanding was that the fees were set based on cost recovery.
That's correct.
So there's no additional revenues that would go towards code enforcement, towards maybe the assessor's office having to, you know, maybe buy another person, the sheriff's department, even though they're not supposed to be involved, but you know that there will be. And that's a kind of a break-even, self-contained, it's a little unit over there, and whatever the cost is, that's going to be transferred on. And if it's a bigger cost, then the fees will go up. But if it's lesser costs, it'll be adjusted down. And it's not to be seen as a profit center.
Oh, it no.
To
well,
get monies off into other
right,
funds.
Right. But you have to understand that when they increased those fees, it was, you know, a projection as to what it would cost. So that projection included the more than likely additional personnel in the county council office, those kind of things. So there will be more funding for those services, but it'll be for those services. Now, Measure S, on the other hand, will go into the general fund, and that, but people voted on it for such things as cleanup of damage to the environment, safety, and possibly, I would argue, there could be some money for roads in there too, because, as many of us know, it's quite an impact on those rural roads to see all of those trucks out there.
All those water trucks.
Don't talk to me about water trucks, okay? They're not supposed to be doing that. But, you know, okay, right now they are. And also you've got those soil trucks and just all of the other
the wear and tear.
Traffic yep. that goes with those kind of endeavors, commercial endeavors. And as far as the manufacturing, I'm not 100% sure how that works into the system, but there certainly will be fees, whether or not they'll be taxes. There will be some state taxes, and we will get a share of those as well on the retail end.
And that'll all come into play at the end of 17-18?
Yes, exactly. The state isn't really ready yet to kick their program in. They have promised they'll get it done by the end of this year. Probably by the fall of this year, we'll have a lot clearer idea of what to expect from the state. And that's both from the government level and from the people who are involved in the industry at that point.
Are our state electeds saying anything? Are they giving you any indication?
Well, they were made very aware that there's a fine line between taxing and overtaxing. You know, overtaxing can be a disincentive.
Wait a minute. They control everything. They're concerned about overtaxing the Democrats?
No, they're not.
Oh, okay.
No. The people in the industry, I would say. You know, there's a lot of feedback that came back. Well, let's say, right, exactly. You know, one legislator wanted to do 15%, and another legislator wanted to do 15%. That's 30% on top of what we were going to ask. That was like, that's not, you're never going to get anybody come in.
That sounds like tobacco.
Yeah. Or gas or anything.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by.
Always a pleasure, Brian.
Yeah. See, I have more fun when I get more than 5 minutes with her. See everybody tomorrow.